Welcome to the Fort Polk Podcast. This week, we're honoring and recognizing Medal of Honor recipients from the Army. The Medal of Honor is the highest military honor awarded by the United States government and given to those who fight courageously in combat. We are proud to be able to recognize these heroes here at Fort Polk, and we thank them for their service and sacrifice. We can never fully thank them for all they have done, but it's our hope that by listening to their stories, we can gain greater understanding of what it means to be a true hero. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to all the Medal of Honor recipients for their service. I'm Jeff England. Let's get started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening to this podcast. I'm Jeff England, and this is the Fort Polk Podcast. I appreciate all of my listener out there. And today, I've got three guests in here. Mark Leslie, Chief of DPTMS, or Director of DPTM. What does that stand for?
Directorate of Plans, Training, Mobilization, and Security.
Oh, that's better. That's a lot of responsibility you got there. And of course, you just don't like coming in here alone. So you brought along two retired command sergeant majors that just happened to be both of them retired command sergeant majors of the garrison of Fort Polk. Ron Semarina, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
That's good. And Chris Osmond.
I'm doing great.
I've had the privilege of working under both of you guys.
Both.
Yeah, I've been here for a while. So we've got all kinds of things going on with the Medal of Honor. Our website is being built up with Medal of Honor pages. I'm sure you guys will be able to check it out just by clicking that Medal of Honor button on the homepage. So what's the big deal with all the Medal of Honor stuff, and what's going on? What are we doing here?
Well, you know, 25 March is the Medal of Honor Day, the National Medal of Honor Day. So this was selected because it was the first 25 March in 1863, the first Medal of Honor was awarded in our country. So normally, you know, you see a lot of social media posts.
Did
and you see stuff like that.
1863?
1863.
I was about to say, dang, that was kind of late. Oh, okay.
Now, there were several before then.
1863.
Back when he was a private.
Oh, back when he was a private. Gotcha.
Pretty close. That's what it feels like. And so, you know, you see a lot of social media posts, the Army will post stuff. But this year, we decided to do it a little bit different. That's really why I asked Ron and Chris to join me today to kind of bring in their experience as well and talk about that. You know, we've got a motto at Fort Polk, you know, the home of heroes. So what better way to honor our heroes than talking about the Medal of Honor heroes? So there's 28 Medal of Honor heroes either from Louisiana or accredited to the state of Louisiana, which means they came in the Army from Louisiana.
They have some kind of anchor in Louisiana, some kind of connection.
Right.
Here.
Fort Polk has memorialized 10 of those by naming 10 of our streets after Medal of Honor recipients from Louisiana or accredited to Louisiana. And we've also got, of course, in Ron's lane, you know, the Shugart Gordon Complex is named after the Medal of Honor recipients from Somalia. And so we're doing a bunch of things this year on Fort Polk.
That would be the Black Hawk Down, wouldn't it?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They made a movie about that. Mm. That's how I know.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
It was a good book, but I can't read. I never learned to read.
That's kind of bad since you work at PAO.
I know, right? Crazy.
Good thing to have you on your strength, which is the digital platform.
I was hired to talk. Anyway, so you got Shugart Gordon. I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm always interrupting. Go ahead.
No, we got 10 streets, and Chris and Ron will talk a little more about those. You know, but we're doing a lot of things this year. So, you know, you guys will be posting some social media stuff for us. The garrison commander, garrison sergeant major, they went out, took pictures of them with those streets so the residents kind of know the street they live on is named in honor of a Medal of Honor recipient. We're going to have a display at the PX, a bunch of different events that we'll talk about throughout this.
Now, I do know that there are a lot of the installations around the United States are being named after people with Medal of Honor. So that's another big thing going on.
Yeah. So everybody knows, it's no secret that Fort Post is going to be redesignated.
It is?
Yes.
Really?
As Fort Johnson.
Fort Johnson. He was a Medal of Honor winner.
That's right. And if you read Sergeant Johnson's certificate, there is no doubt that Sergeant Johnson earned that Medal of Honor.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that snippet that you sent out the other day, Chris.
Yeah, the comic book.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got his own comic book?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
So AUSA started Chris has found a lot of great stuff as I gave him this project that he was happy to get, among his many other projects. But we found a AUSA website where they took a lot of Medal of Honor recipients and they put them into a comic book. So it's more receptable to today's readers like you, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
It's only like 4 pages.
I like pictures.
You can make through it.
But it's pretty awesome, and it lays out in graphic detail what Sergeant Johnson did to earn his Medal of Honor, not win. He earned that Medal of Honor. And it's pretty amazing. So Fort Polk will be honored to have Sergeant Johnson as our new name, and I think it's appropriate that we call ourselves the Home of Heroes because we'll be named after a hero.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have an honor field over there off of LA-10, and that was named after Medal of Honor winner. There's a plaque out there that I've read, and I'm going to have to go back over and look at it again, but I believe that was named after Medal of Honor recipient.
Up in the parking lot,
there's a memorial. Like a memorial up there for him.
I'm not tracking that. I knew that during World War II, that was a German POW camp.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. A lot of them didn't want to go back.
Right. They enjoyed their time.
You know, our POW, being a POW over here is a lot better than living in Germany back in the World War II.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've got the Medal of Honor. And if anybody doesn't know, for those that don't know, the Medal of Honor is throughout all the branches. And there are currently three designs. Mm-hmm. There's one for the Air Force, one for the Army, and one for the Navy and Marine Corps.
And there's been versions of those for all three services throughout the years.
Yeah. And so you think you could describe what it looks like?
I'll hand that one off to Chris because he found some unique differences.
Yeah. So what I would tell you is, you know, touching on that subject, one of the best things that me personally that I got to do is learning the history behind the Medal of Honor. Because, you know, we know a lot. We think we know a lot until you actually get in the books and everything else. So in looking at the medals, you know, you have three, just like you talked about before. But what's interesting is the Army and the Navy, they have Minerva, which is the goddess of, you know, wisdom and war is on their medal. But the Air Force has a Statue of Liberty, which was interesting. You know,
that is interesting. I wonder why the difference.
You know, each branch is different, which is key. But every ribbon has the stars with the blue ribbon, you know, and the 13 stars that represents our 13 colonies. The eagle on the Army one, you know, obviously that's a traditional symbol of the United States Army or the United States. And I guess the other thing that's key is in each one of those, you'll find a oak cluster, the dark green oak cluster. And each of these represents strength. And as you know, strength tied to the Medal of Honor, that says strength on the battlefield that got them through, you know, to make those sacrifices. And I think what's interesting, and myself and Mark have talked about this, is you get to see the Medal of Honor recipients, if you ever had the privilege of meeting one of them or whatever the case is, they're ordinary people. You know, we immediately, Medal of Honor recipient, you put them on a pedestal, you know, like look at that person. But when you talk to them, it's an ordinary person, just like you said, doing extraordinary missions or actions.
Yeah, I know how you get that hero complex, and you tend to put these people on the pedestal. It's Medal of Honor recipients. I always say winners, but it's a recipient. It's a medal. It would be nice to have, but I don't think I have what it takes to earn it. But yeah, putting them on a pedestal, just like you know, putting command sergeant majors on the on a pedestal, getting them up there, and it's like just makes them an easier target and farther to fall.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is that we've had millions and millions of people since 25 March 1863 serve in the military, all branches across hundreds of conflicts, right? And we've had less than 4,000 people awarded that medal.
3,500, 3,516.
Yeah. And there's only, 63
or
65.
65 that are alive, right?
Yeah. Now. The most recent was just awarded this last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, March 3rd.
Mm-hmm. See, now what always gets me is they have the ribbon for your ribbon rack, but it's a neck ribbon, and you wear the medal. Do you also put it on the ribbon rack, or would that be redundant?
So, no, yeah, I think they just wear the pertinents around there.
So why have one for the ribbon rack? See, I'd be wearing that everywhere.
See, yeah,
especially when I go to 350. I'd have that on there. It's like, hey,
just so people would salute you. So you asked a question about the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, why the Statue of Liberty?
I would think, and I'm just guessing here, throwing it out, right, is that the Air Force didn't design their ribbon until 1965.
Oh.
And prior to that, the Navy and the Army was 62, 61, 18.
So that was 62. Before the Statue of Liberty.
We didn't really have one. Yeah.
So the Statue of Liberty represents America and freedom, what we all fight for and all that stuff. Now, here's a little bit of trivia, and you probably know the answer, but I didn't know until I actually met a Medal of Honor recipient and spoke with him, and he actually let me check out his medal and all that stuff. What's on the back?
Their name.
Exactly. Their name and I think the date when they got it. And it's like not a lot of people know that because they don't know the back of it. And medals aren't usually engraved with your stuff. But he goes, yeah, there's a little bit of trivia that not a lot of people know. If ask them what's on the back.
I figured since our resident Air Force vet, you would know why the Statue of Liberty is on there.
Well, I do. But I wanted to let you guys feel smart.
Well, talking about the Air Force, one of the things we found that's interesting is there's only been 19 recipients of the Air Force to receive the Medal of Honor.
I can name at least one.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting about it is the state of Louisiana has one of them.
Really?
Which is good. You know, when you break it down, when you look across the branches, as far as Louisiana, out of the 28 that are either from Louisiana or accredited to Louisiana, you have 20 from the Army, you have 2 from the Marine Corps, you have 5 from the Navy, and 1 from the Air Force. So there's a lot of great history when you look at the state of Louisiana with, you know, who the recipients are. We have Albert Weisbogel was awarded the Medal of Honor twice.
That is crazy.
So, I mean, there's a lot of rich history in this area.
Yeah, not a lot of people have earned one, let alone two. It's like, now would he wear 2 medals or does he just put an oak leaf cluster on there?
That's a good question.
I would wear two.
put one on the front and one on the back. That way he could tell.
He's earned the right to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Salute with both hands there.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, Jeff. So I've had the pleasure of meeting 3 Medal of Honor recipients, and I knew one of them pretty intimately. And you know, and the common theme for all those guys is that they never attribute themselves as being a hero.
No, they've always been, or they're humble.
They're very humble.
There's no I.
Yeah. And they wear it, every one of them says the same thing. They wear it for everybody that was with them that day because they knew they couldn't accomplish that alone. And that speaks volumes about those men and their character, but also what that medal represents.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've read a couple of their citations, and they are, you know, it's monstrously long. Citation, but then I've seen a couple from the Indian Wars, and it's like one sentence.
Yeah, very short.
One sentence. It's like, okay, interesting, but it's these ribbons or these medals is just the highest honor, and only military can receive this. Now, the highest civilian would be the American Presidential Award for Freedom or something like that. The Presidential Award for Freedom is the highest for civilian, I believe.
But Chris found the one woman that's been accredited with the Medal of Honor. Chris found this out in his research.
Ah.
Which is kind of appropriate because it's Women's Month.
Lay it on us, Chris.
So I don't have her name with me.
Mary Walker,
which was interesting. And this is where I think we kind of missed the boat. Maybe we'll catch it next year. But, you know, Women's Appreciation Month, one Medal of Honor recipient that was a woman that would be awarded. And I would tell you, it's interesting when you read her article because she was never in the service.
So never in the service? How'd that work?
She was a doctor. She was a doctor and helping on the battlefield, obviously, with the men that were injured. And she did it for a while. And then when you look into her history and everything else, she actually had her medal stripped from her. And then eventually it came back and was re-awarded. And it was based on, you know, just the times.
Yeah, during the Civil War.
Yeah.
I've heard several stories like that where like a female had disguised herself as a man in order to...
That's exactly what Mary... She did.
Maybe that's the one I was reading about.
Yep.
I mean, listening about.
Yeah.
So we've got... So we have 10 streets named, and we've already changed the names, right? The signs are up and everything.
They've been there for a while.
So they weren't even changed. They've been that way.
When they planned Fort Polk, they planned for those 10 to be named after Medal of Honor recipients.
That is very cool.
And then just over time, it was forgotten.
Right.
Yeah, like Honor Field.
Or it became common.
Common. Cane Street in...
Well, one thing I'll share with you, you know, from when I was in position as a sergeant major, I used to get upset with one of our streets, and it was Roach Street. And, you know, and why in the world would we name a street Roach Street when we're trying to improve quality of life and everything else? But when you dive into the history, it's pretty remarkable.
Medal of Honor.
Hampton Roach, you know, it was awarded the Medal of Honor, but how we educate the community. So this is what we're trying to do is, hey, help educate the community on the heroes and the why behind some of these names. And it's helping.
Yeah, there's a great resource, the Congressional Medal of Honor Society.org online has tons of information on the Medal of Honor, the recipients, and they even have educational programs to teach character to elementary and secondary age students.
Yeah, that'd be the stories behind it and the, you know, just movies and stuff. There was... I saw one movie, and I know you guys know this guy, and I forgot his name. I forgot his name. But it was this guy, he was such a marksman and a marksman shooter, and he was actually able to capture a whole platoon or brigade or something back in World War II.
World War I is Alvin York.
York, yes, Sergeant York. That's the one. Just took they all gave up. Thinking that they were being taken down by a whole sniper group. It was just him. I'm like, here, take these guys. We don't have this.
You know, he was, he's from where I grew up at. And then I remember he was in the 82nd in World War I. I don't remember World War I, Ron, so before you start a joke.
Mm. No, he was busy.
It was already there.
Yeah. he was busy.
He would come, he was still alive when I was a private, and he would come to the division reviews at Fort Bragg. It was pretty amazing.
Really? You actually got to see Sergeant York?
I saw him standing in his World War I uniform on the side of the roads as we all ran by. He saluted everybody. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely cool. There's a Marine dude that stands up and salutes the Boston Marathon? Or he just stands there the whole day. It's like I've held a salute for a long time, and it gets tiring after a while. But he's up there for like 6 hours and stuff. Crazy. Yeah,
well, I mean, you're from the Air Force, so how long do you actually hold a salute, Jeff?
just until the plane leaves. See, that's the big difference between the Army and the Air Force. Is the Army is the enlisted go out and do the fighting, and the Air Force we send the officers to do it.
There's something to be said for that.
I would tell you, I've had the privilege of meeting two Medal of Honor recipients. And two of them, you know, one of them is Lieutenant General Robert Foley. He earned his Medal of Honor in Vietnam, which is interesting because his son was my squadron commander.
Oh, really?
Yes. His son is Brigadier General Foley now. And he shared his experience. You know, how we talk about it, they're down to earth. The medal's not about them. It's about the people, the men that they fought with. I also had the privilege to meet Michael Thornton. He was in the Navy, Vietnam, and reading his story. It's impressive when you get to read about their story, but it's more impressive when you get to hear it in person, because you get the details that you'll never be able to find in writing. It's remarkable.
Yeah, the feeling behind it and the emotions when they were actually involved in what set them on the path to receive this, to have Congress say, you know what, that, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think it's pretty telling that, you know, everybody thinks about the medal, but the medal is a really small token of what the country gives these men for what they did.
Mm.
I mean, you know, that's a, it's just a medal, right?
Yeah, and a lot of them receive it posthumously.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the ultimate.
So then you think about the impacts that the individuals made, not, and what their actions ended up causing, not only within their own family, but often the families of those that they saved. So like, there may not be a Ron Semarina because of somebody 40 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago.
It's probably more like around 60,
yeah.
60 yeah, years maybe ago. So.
Maybe not that far.
Like the most recent, they awarded, they thankfully gave a lot of good coverage to, but Colonel Paris Davis, mm-hmm. who got that, he saved several men that would not be here today,
yeah.
nor would their families
right,
be
their here. Family. The end of the line. That's it.
And pretty amazing time, and especially, you know, Colonel Davis was a minority, and this and they got, he didn't care.
Right.
He shows on the battlefield there is no discrimination.
No.
He cared about his men, and he took care of them, and he put his life at grave danger to do so.
Well, that's pretty common to find in all services. Brothers and sisters are just that, brothers and sisters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we make fun of each. All the branches make fun of each other.
Oh, yeah.
But like siblings do, you know?
Sure,
and
right.
Then somebody, some outsider comes in and starts making fun, and everyone teams up on it. It's like, nope, not going to happen.
Absolutely.
Then now, we send the Marines in to get it.
when you talk about the impact with that, I mean, look at the 28 recipients in the wars that Louisiana has had Medal of Honor recipients. I mean, it goes back to the Indian campaigns, the Civil War, the Korean War, World War II, mm-hmm. and Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge impact from, mm-hmm. you know, a local area.
That's a lot of Louisiana.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the individual that got impact in their families, but maybe 5, 10, 100
yeah.
other yeah. families were impacted by the actions of that one individual.
Yep. And it just branches out like a root system.
Yeah.
We've got some pretty, you look at these, Chris went through all these and I looked at them. There's some pretty unique individuals that we have in the state of Louisiana. I sure would like to meet and have a beer with a couple of them.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Because they're pretty amazing. There's some pretty amazing acts they did, pretty courageous. All of them were courageous. But some unique characters in that lineup and yeah. that you've got hung on our website.
Yep.
People ought to search those guys out and check it out.
Yeah. One of the individuals that I got to look at was Lieutenant Fournette, and he's the only individual from the local area, Southwest Louisiana, that is a Medal of Honor recipient. And so you look at the citation and you go, wow, this guy charged an anti-personnel mine like an enemy claymore and tried to cut the wires before it detonated. But it detonated, killing him instantly, wounding five others, but saved those five. None of them died. And then, and that's all I knew. And so then I went to researching because he's close and found out born in Lake Charles, went to Lake Charles High School, went to McNeese ROTC, played football for them, has family, a brother, a nephew and others that are still active in the community down here in Lake Charles. The VA center down in Lake Charles named after him. Mm. I think that was 2019. And then of course his statue in the Veterans Memorial Park there at Lake Charles. And finally was buried in Kinder, Louisiana in the cemetery at Kinder. And his plaque is there. On the gravesite.
Oh,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So everything's Lake Charles and then Kinder.
You know, if I have a chance to talk to the family and ask why, I'll do that for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Got to keep it in the local area. It's like, why? Well, we've got a nice area up here next to the VA outpatient clinic up here on
University Park.
Yeah, yeah. University. Mm-hmm. I was going to say 467, but I guess University Parkway is better.
Yeah, I don't know if there are any Medal of Honor recipients buried there or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so. My father-in-law is, and we go there and visit every so often. But who knows?
Well, that I mean, you just never know. You could ask a caretaker of any place, and maybe there's some kind of historical marker or something that you're not even aware of. I wasn't aware that he was buried in Kinder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of neat. Morbid, but kind of neat.
Now, do any of you know who the lowest ranking?
Chris knows that.
The lowest ranking Medal of Honor in the Army?
It was a private.
Or winner. Recipient.
Recipient.
Gosh.
It was a private. There's multiple privates that were awarded.
Like E2 private?
Yes.
Wow. That's a lower rank than the Air Force.
Well, back in the days when Mark was coming up,
corporal,
the Indian Wars and things like that, you know, that it was pretty common.
Yeah.
How was George Washington as a general?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get you guys.
He was a great guy. Yeah. Now, in the Air Force, Senior Airman John Leviteau was the lowest ranking Medal of Honor recipient. And he was in an airplane and during Vietnam, and it was shot, and the bullet or whatever shot him ignited a box of white phosphorus flares in the aircraft. And he actually picked these things up with his bare hands and was able to get them out of the plane before it hit the ammo that was in the plane. Saving the whole airplane and the whole crew and stuff. And he went on to be named, well, in addition to the Medal of Honor, he also is, when you go through your schools, like ALS and stuff like that, you get the John Leviteau Award. It's kind of like the Audie Murphy
right.
of the Army. So, yeah, that's, I mean, everybody's got their yeah, heroes and in stories to tell.
Yeah, that's pretty selfless. You know, I think it's pretty good. I think it's a great thing that the Medal of Honor is not exclusive to rank, right? Or it's not included,
yeah.
really. It's not considered as part of the criteria for the medal, because it definitely should not yeah. be. You know,
no.
rank is
based
not,
on
has nothing to do with your valor or your courage.
Yeah, I don't think. So the Navy, their officers were ineligible until 1915.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was originally set up for privates and NCOs. And the Army in 63 added officers, but it wasn't until 1863, that is.
Oh.
It wasn't until 1915 that the naval officers were eligible. I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting.
That's a neat factoid.
See, and it's I'm surprised that it was created in 1863, because I when I think of these high or these honorable, really high honored medals, I always think of the first thing that I get pictured in my head is the Purple Heart, which was, I believe that was the Revolutionary War designed by George Washington himself.
It's our first medal.
Yeah, and it's so I think of that. When I think of the Medal of Honor, I don't even think about it not being until almost the Civil War.
You know, we really didn't have a lot of medals until after the Civil War. In between the Civil War and World War I is where we started
really
creating yeah. and recognizing medals. That was our only medal for valor, as a matter of fact, until after the Civil War.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
One thing I would tell everybody, the Congressional Medal of Honor site you were talking about, I would encourage anybody to go on that site, because yeah. it's just the history yeah, behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because you can look and see how brothers both received the Medal of Honor, or, you know, the two individuals that married both their sisters. You know, I married his sister, she married his sister, and they both won the Congressional Medal of Honor. So, I mean, there's a lot of family.
Talk about some sibling
Not to be outdone.
It's like
makes a fun barbecue.
My little brother's always trying to beat me.
And you have some father and son. I mean, it's very interesting to see that.
It is great. Well, you know, I guess it's it runs in the family.
That did.
Yeah. Her selflessness and
well, it's actually when you think about it though, it all boils down to character, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so I guess it's really not that surprising that you would have a father, son, or two brothers when you think about their development growing up and how different values were instilled in them. I guess that's probably satisfactory.
Yeah, you bring that up.
My that's a good explanation, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the things I did with my Colonel Nett, who received the medal, was a recipient of the Medal of Honor from his actions in the Philippines, then went on to command in Korea, did some pretty courageous stuff. But I had a pretty unique relationship with him, and I had breakfast with him one time, and I asked him, "Hey, can you mind if I bring my son?" My son was about 8 at the time. And I got to bring. He said, "Of course, you bring him." And so we got to sit there and hear Colonel Nett's stories. And Colonel Nett was an elderly gentleman at that time. He had a couple of people that helped take care of him, and so we went and had breakfast with him. And you know, my son, now staff sergeant, he's a Cav Scout like both of you.
That's awesome.
And he still remembers. Colonel Nett is long gone now, but he still remembers talking to Colonel Nett when he was 8 years old, Medal of Honor recipient. So that's pretty cool.
And that was during his formative years too. So
yeah, he was 8 years old.
Good deal.
Got to meet him, Medal of Honor recipient, have breakfast with him, and he was just in awe, you know, like most people. But then he got to see him. Hey, that dude's pretty amazing, you know.
Yeah.
So do you remember the first Medal of Honor recipient?
Yes.
Being awarded?
No, I did not remember the first Medal of Honor recipient being awarded. I remember the first one I met, which was Colonel Roger Donlan, Special Forces officer. And I was at some course at Bragg. I cannot remember the course. And he was the guest speaker at that. And I remember his message. And then I saw him probably about 20 years later at Fort Leavenworth as a guest speaker again. He's a pretty amazing individual. I think he was the first Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's back in the 60s.
Yeah, 65, I think, is when Colonel Donnelly got his Medal of Honor.
Way back.
Way back. Yeah. It's the way back machine. Yeah. Chris is just looking at me. I got something to say.
No, it's something you said earlier. You talked about, you know, who was the first one or the lowest rank, and then we talked about who's the first one. Well, the interesting fact is Private Jacob Parrott was the first person to be awarded the Medal of Honor during 25 March 1863.
That was the Civil War.
Yeah.
So, and you said the Civil War, at the Civil War, that was the only medal of for combat, or?
That was their only medal at the time, I think, was Medal of Honor.
And the Purple Heart.
Purple Heart went away.
Oh, it went away?
It went away, and then it came back about the World War I time frame. In fact, I think in World War I, they weren't awarding it. They had to do it retroactively. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
But I think the Purple Heart went away for a little while, and we resurrected it.
This is amazing. I'm learning a lot. Or remembering a lot. Or, well, I don't know.
You get on a subject and then you can start, in these day and ages, I mean, there you are on your phone.
Of course.
You can just surf and learn all sorts of stuff. It's ridiculous. What?
How many Coast Guard recipients were there?
Hope.
Chris knows.
I know.
The research.
Coast Guard.
I know.
One.
First and only. That was Douglas Monroe, named after the city of Monroe.
Really?
No, I just made that up.
It's supposed to be factual, Jeff.
I don't even think it's spelled the same. No.
But, you know, the Coast Guard was pretty active in Vietnam. A lot of people don't know that. They were pretty active in, they were actually in Desert Storm as well, the Coast Guard. And we had Coast Guard coasties that I got to work with in Iraq.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wrong coast, though.
They were doing some water stuff.
I guess.
That was the Sandy Coast.
Sandy Coast, that's right. And the now this is something that is very cool about America, the Medal of Honor.
Everything's cool
about America. I know, but it's me. And the how you said it doesn't matter what rank or who you are, and if you've performed the valor, that's worthy enough.
It's more than valor.
And who was
gallantry?
Gallantry and valor and gallantry and honor and heroic
intrepidity
and heroic feats with flagrant disregard for your own personal safety.
It's Marvel and DC wrapped into one.
It's Marvel C. D marvelous. who was the first who and when was the first African American recipient? It was the Civil War. It was a Civil War, and it was William H. Kearny.
Kearny, like Kearny, Nebraska.
Something like that.
No, Mark. I just made that up.
I figured. Okay.
See, I got all kinds of trivia around here. The first Hispanic or Latino recipient was also in the Civil War. So this goes way back. And it shows. It shows that it doesn't matter who you are. You're military, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what unit you're in or what branch you're in. You're a brother or a sister, just like Mary Walker. Mary Walker.
You're comrades in arms. That's what matters. Yeah. You know, it's not exclusive to race, sex, religion, or anything else. Just like everything else in the Army, it's based on performance alone. I think that's you know, the integrity of the medal, I think, has been kept. It's pretty hard to receive the Medal of Honor. It goes through an extensive vetting process. But I think they've done a good job of keeping that. Now, whatever Medal of Honor recipient I've ever met will tell you is that, hey, I'm just lucky enough to have been recognized. He goes, I could probably name 10 people that did something as courageous as I did that didn't get the medal, you know. And so that 3,500 that you said, Ron, you know, there's probably 10 times that probably earned it, just weren't recognized or observed when they did that. And that is pretty telling because those people aren't doing that to receive the Medal of Honor.
No.
It's not like they're going out saying, I got to do this.
They're doing it for their comrades at arms, you know. Yeah.
Something just drove them in the moment.
I wasn't even thinking. I just needed to do it.
And it's extraordinary because you're not thinking of that in the time. You know, when you're in a firefight, and most people sitting in this room have been in one, that's what you're thinking about.
I'd have to say probably 3 out of 4.
I think you're probably pretty good at your math.
I wasn't going to point you out, Jeff.
I did, but I did join. I did join in my MEPS was in South Central LA. So there's that.
You saw it.
Yeah.
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 Going there, you experienced combat.
They had to ship me down to San Diego to do it because the L.A. MEPS was burned down in the riots.
Oh, South Central Los Angeles. Yes. You said L.A. I thought maybe you were talking Louisiana.
No. I grew up south of
Lower Alabama.
Lower Alabama. I grew up south of I-10, that's for sure. People don't believe me. It's like, you know, that thing runs from coast to coast.
Right.
Chris, you're so quiet.
Yeah. I think one of the things I just want to highlight is you know, the community needs to know everything we're trying to do, and it's all based on education. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to understand them, you know, the importance, recognize these heroes that we have in our local community. We got a lot of stuff that we're going on. Mark, you talked about it, from the podcast to you're going to be on Good Day Sinla. I'll be on the radio on Monday. AFES, our partners, they're actually coming to the table and they're setting up a display inside the PX.
Cool.
Which is going to highlight the 28 recipients that we have from the Louisiana. And then the website that Jeff and the team helped establish, so everyone else, because we talked about it, the phone is an amazing feat. Internet, you can get there and search any information. We're trying to bring it all to the table, so it's at JRTC and Fort Polk's fingertips. So there's a lot of great stuff, and 25 March will be our day to just remember those heroes.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Chris. And so 25 March doesn't mean to be the one day we think about of our Medal of Honor recipients, right? We live right here with heroes, and we've memorialized a lot of those heroes. But on that day, don't just, you know, repeat a post that somebody sees, but take a few minutes and go to one of those great websites and learn about
it. You bet.
Yeah, do some research and look at those citations. I mean, you should be awed about what these men accomplished.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's really easy to at least learn about Sergeant Johnson.
Yes.
Because, you know, right on our homepage, home.army.mil/Polk, there's the button, the Medal of Honor button. Just click on that, and the first person on the list is Sergeant Johnson. And you can see what, or at least read what he actually did. It'll be there. And I believe there will be a couple of signs around here to remind us who he is.
In the very near future.
In the very near future.
Yeah. Pretty amazing individual, and he was somebody that I would definitely wouldn't mind having beside me in a firefight, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's, any of these guys.
Yeah, there's a couple of other great websites you can learn about it, Jeff. So Ron mentioned it earlier, cmohs.org is the Congressional Medal of Honor Society website. You can find a lot of great stuff about that. And then also, we were talking about the Medal of Honor comic books earlier. So it's ausa.org/medal-honor-novels. those are pretty unique, and that's a great initiative. They don't have all of the Medal of Honor recipients on there, but it's a work in progress. I think they've got about 7 to 10, Chris.
Yeah.
But go in there and check it out. We're working on trying to get a couple of those printed up in the near future. Maybe we'll make the mark for a Medal of Honor Day. But great resources.
Another great resource that I found is the Army has their own Medal of Honor page, and you're able to go on there, and it's focused just on the U.S. Army, but when they'll have descriptions, and they have maps and reenactments, digital, a lot of great information on the Army side as well.
Okay, great.
Oh, here's some more trivia on the Medal of Honor.
That only you know.
That only I know. The unknown soldiers interred in Arlington National Cemetery. Yep. Are they Medal of Honor recipients?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
I'm going to go with yes.
You'd be correct.
Sweet.
You are. All four of the U.S. unknown soldiers have been presented the Medal of Honor in recognition of their sacrifice and sacrifices of all who ever served the country. That's amazing.
Fitting tribute, I think.
I think it is.
Because they represent all the unknown and all the actions of the unknown.
And since I'm unknown, I vicariously have the Medal of Honor.
If that's what makes you feel good today, Jeff.
Today, yes. Today, yes. But yeah, there's all kinds of neat trivia and stories and medals. Just looking at the medal it's one of the most awesome medals I've ever seen. And especially up close. And I've seen some pretty cool ones, but this one takes the cake. This one takes the cake. And so we have the Medal of Honor Day is Thursday, the 24th.
Saturday,
25th. The 25th. March, I'm 25th. Always,
you were almost.
I'm like, I'm not only am I off on the day, but I'm also on the date.
So you're good on the year.
I'm good on the year. I think it was.
Okay.
I think it is, right? Yeah. So
25 March, Saturday, next Saturday. And will be Medal of Honor Day.
And anything special? You're doing anything special?
The areas or the things that Chris mentioned that the installation is doing to make it special. You guys and PAO will be posting a lot of stuff for us on Medal of Honor, on our Medal of Honor, the 28 that we've or the 10 we've memorialized here on Fort Polk, and then some other Medal of Honor stuff for us. And of course, the Army, all the services will be posting stuff about their Medal of Honor Day. But like I said, Chris will be on the radio. I'll be talking on Good Day Sinlaw. We'll have a great display that our AFES partners made. And really, we're just encouraging people to take a few moments that day. Don't go on Amazon. Go to the Medal of Honor website. Go to the Fort Polk website. Take 10 minutes and read one of those citations. Learn about those American heroes. You know, the word hero is thrown around a lot today. We use it a lot for a lot of different people and a lot of different things. I think sometimes it's abused. But you want to see what a real hero is? Go to one of these websites and Absolutely. Check out what these guys did.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you guys coming in, and I would love to have you come back again.
A different topic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be cool. See if I could get Chris to talk a little bit more.
Yep.
All right. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming in, and everyone else does. And thanks a lot for coming in, and we appreciate everyone out there that's listening to our podcast. And I am Jeff England from the Fort Polk Public Affairs Office, and I am out of here.